Overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 44 degrees is the temperature. The time is 8:07. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to our Facebook and X pages, our Bow Falls Radio Facebook and X pages. You can see a video stream and also add your comments as well. Coming up a little bit later on at 8:20, we'll be joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Take a look at the end of week and weekend forecast. At 8:34 this morning, it's our weekly North Star Knows with North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. Give you some information on renovation and all sorts of other great things that we do every Thursday. But to start things off, first of all, good morning to Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I will talk to you later, because
sounds good.
We have waiting in the wings the host of Up North News Radio. You can hear every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope things have settled down since the big fight we were having in our last segment about Top Chef gets a little animated in here. I hope things have settled down now for your audience.
Well, I was catching that, and also yesterday I've been hearing some rumbles out there of Pat Kreitlow for governor. All of a sudden yesterday, all these rumbles started coming at Pat Kreitlow is getting folks that are saying you would make a good governor, and then all of a sudden you did not shut the door like any good politician.
That's a damn dirty lie. I was going to give the Lyndon Johnson thing, you know, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve, or something. But I'm right. Like, well, no, if I got elected, I actually would do it. No, that came up during my appearance on the Todd Alba program yesterday, which really caught me off guard, because let me just say that when it comes to running for office again, No.
One other thing that you were talking about in that segment that it got me actually thinking a little bit later on. You were mentioning the fact that with Earth Day coming up, you had put through legislation to name a portion of the hometown of Gaylord Nelson after the former governor and senator. And that part of the deal was that, yeah, we'll do that, but you have to have folks who are willing to build the signs themselves or donate for the signs, that there will be no money going into it. And then I started thinking, you know, of all the things that, like, even in the last recent number of years, but in all the years since that occurred, where the money has just been so wasted. I mean, the Michael Gableman investigation, how many signs could you have got for that? It was so ridiculous when you were mentioning that sometimes there's a lot of pettiness in Madison, isn't there?
So much pettiness. And when, again, this was in the 2009-10 budget, and of course we were in the throes of the Great Recession, and so money was hard to come by for any new spending. And so, yeah, they said, well, we'll pass the bill, but only if you include in there the language that any signage has to be financed by, you know, outside groups, not the state, like volunteer groups. Well, then I lost my election in 2010 before I ever got a chance to try to coordinate that effort. And I looked, the law is still on the books. But I don't know that signs were ever put up on U.S. Highway 63 from Clear Lake, you know, up toward the Ashland area. So I'm thinking maybe that's what we got talking about campaigning, that we need a campaign to get those signs, get that road marked if it isn't already.
I do have a campaign myself going on, and I know that I'm probably one of the few that do it. My campaign is to have everybody ignore the Marquette University Law Poll. And I'm going to give you half credit and half not credit, because I was tuned in earlier and I was, you know, getting ready. And I will give you credit that you said basically, well, you know, these numbers sometimes, you know, if you talk about Ron Johnson in particular, I give you credit for that. But then I don't give you credit when you said, well, we're going to acknowledge it. No! No, not my goal now. I don't want anybody acknowledging it. And the
just
thing is,
pretend it doesn't even exist.
That is exactly the right. Yes, because I got a little annoyed yesterday. There, you know, Dan Schaefer is a wonderful guy. He's on a bunch of our programs. But I saw him posting, I am at the Marquette University Law School waiting for the results to come in. And it's like, oh, stop it. And I put out on my social, I said, tomorrow morning and any month in the future, you will not be hearing on the Chad Holmes Show a rundown of the results of the Marquette University Law Poll. And today there will be a point where I'm sitting in my windowless office when we hear a newscast from Civic Media that will talk about the results of the Marquette University Law Poll. Am I just tilting at windmills here?
Preach, Brother Chad, preach. The man is on a tear here. No, you have absolutely every right to do that with your show, to not even acknowledge that that polling is done, because polling does such a disservice to journalism and to political discourse overall. And in fact, let me stray a bit from the point for a social media post that I put up early this morning, when I noticed an Associated Press story. And the story was all about a poll that shows most people don't know about the Inflation Reduction Act and the ways that it could address climate change. And so that might hurt Joe Biden in his reelection. And I thought, that's not what the Associated Press is supposed to do. You're supposed to say, here's a policy, the Inflation Reduction Act, and here, dear audience, is what it does. If you're just saying, we took a poll of our audience and they don't know what this thing is because we never told them about it in the first place, you're doing journalism by polling rather than informing. That's the worst possible thing that could be done. And the same goes with the Marquette poll. It should never drive the coverage. At best, I would like to think that I handled it, you know, really well.
Yes,
to say,
you did.
Hey, nothing really new here. We're still a 50-50 state. Most people still oppose the Dobbs decision. And I'm not even going to share favorability ratings. I just don't, because they don't mean anything. You don't vote for your favorite when you get in the voting booth, your favorite, unfavorite. You're basing it on so many factors beyond that. And like I said, Ron Johnson has never had a net positive favorability number, and yet he's won 3 elections. And so I would not even ask those questions anymore.
Talking about the Senate race, I saw a story this week that said, I kind of chuckled a little bit, because apparently inflation isn't not as bad as maybe people thought, and I say that with a raised eyebrow, because back during the 2012 campaign, I remember a story that came out that Ron Johnson gave himself $8 million. And it ended up, and then it ended up being a bonus from his company after
his
he got
company,
elected.
Coincidentally, yeah,
the exact
gets
amount
this bonus, but that's not a corporate donation, of course not. No.
But the ironic thing is, we just saw a story that said Eric Hovde has given himself $8 million. So I've been thinking, well, if all this inflation, Eric should be giving himself like $15-16 million for his campaign.
But he still might.
But the idea is that he has not been raising the money that Senator Baldwin is, and he's trying to, you know, obviously use his wealth in order to get name recognition and build his campaign early. It goes back again, and I think I've talked to you about this idea again that Hovde puts out, that somehow only rich people are going to be above being bought off. And that really annoys me, because I do think we talk a lot about the importance of the system, of people getting involved. And if in the end the only people that can get involved are rich people, the system is going to crack and fall apart sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we use the word oligarchs when we're talking about Russians, but the fact of the matter is we're awfully close to having, you know, government run by oligarchs here. People who are billionaires who are keeping candidates like Ron Johnson and Donald Trump alive when they were in some real dire straits. Who do you think they're going to be working for? And the same goes for anybody who can self-fund a campaign. They say, well, that makes me very independent. No, it makes you part of the millionaire, billionaire class, and we know who you're going to be looking out for. The last time we had somebody super wealthy that was actually looking out for regular folks was Herb Kohl, and he's gone. He's a throwback. Nowadays, I mean, show me somebody like that unless maybe, maybe if Mark Cuban were to run for office, something like that. But, I mean, the number of people that would fit in that box is really small. Most will simply, again, do what they can to extend the 2017 massive tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires and hike taxes on everybody else.
And real fast to wrap it up, part of that story, it also mentioned again that Mr. and Mrs. Richard Eline was the big supporters of Mr. Hovde's campaign, giving the maximum amount. Over the years, and I mean, especially in recent years since I really delved into this kind of programming, they have put in an incredible amount of money. And I said on the show yesterday, I said, if you can put in the amount of money that the Eline family's put in, you have too much money. And I know that's probably would make me
a communist. Exactly. A socialist, yeah.
But had you ever had any dealings with the Elines? And I guess because I just, every election, it is disgusting in my mind the amount of money that they put into dark money groups, and then and giving money to a campaign is fine, but it's those dark money groups that they are funding in a big way as well. This family,
the Eline family is they are part of the original Schlitz Brewing Company. They are the folks who would be the the heirs to the fortune. Well, they have the fortune. The Schlitz Brewery is no more, and it's the Eline family that somehow through marriage, what was once the Schlitz Brewery is now the Elines. And there is a member of that family who gives very generously to Democratic and progressive causes, and I believe she's donated to me, or at least groups that I'm familiar with. But again, even though I appreciate that, I would appreciate all the more if we didn't have these kinds of limits here. You talked about the Elines giving the maximum amount. That's a joke. That's the maximum legal amount.
Right.
They're going to give so much more even through all these dark money groups, and it's really unfortunate.
Pat Kreitlow, every weekday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., Up North News Radio. Thanks, Pat. Have a great day and great weekend.
All right. See ya.
We will be coming back talking to our meteorologist, Brittany Merloa. And then after that, it will be North Star Knows after that. So it is Thursday morning. The time is 8:18. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Hello, Wausau.
We're Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show. Happy to announce caller 9 to 715-9-WAUSA gets a new set of AirPod Pros, Apple AirPod Pros.
Caller number 9 right now, 715-9-WAUSA is our number.
Just leave your name and number.
And we'll announce the winner Saturday morning between 8 and 9 during the Wausau Business Show on 98.9 Bull Falls Radio, 715-9-WAUSA.
Don't forget to leave your name and number on our answering machine.
We'll tell you who caller number 9 was this Saturday, 8 to 9 on the Wausau Business Show.
Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com. mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:21. Again, overcast skies here in downtown Wausau. Temperature of 44 degrees. So not the brightest start to our day, but sooner rather than later, we will see a little bit more sunshine. How soon? What can we expect here as we get closer and closer to the weekend? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have the person that knows all the answers, as we are again joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. That faucet is still leaking a little bit outside.
That's a good way of putting it. It's hanging around, isn't it? A little longer than maybe we thought.
It sure is. So this is actually a whole different system that is sliding to the south of us throughout the day today. It's actually going through central Illinois and into the Ohio Valley, but we are seeing some of that as it scrapes us. So a little bit of drizzle, some light scattered showers are possible here throughout this afternoon, mainly south, though. I do think we're going to miss a lot of it and maybe get more of the drizzle kind of vibe here for us, but stuck under cloudy, overcast skies for a good chunk of today. There is a small chance we'll see a pocket of sunshine try to peek out later before the sun sets, but don't get your heart set on that today.
Something else that's coming up is, again, those temperatures getting around the freezing mark. And that, of course, this time of year, folks are getting, you know, their plants and everything else outside. Hey, better hang on just a moment, right?
I know. It's so hard not to have that green thumb with how warm we got, you know, the past few weekends and just that summer vibe. But if you, like myself, I put some plants outside in my patio. I sure did. I'm bringing them in. They will not be out there tonight and through the entire weekend, because temperatures are crashing right to the freezing mark tonight, which means a patchy light frost is definitely possible overnight and early tomorrow morning. And then we're going to hit hard freezes both Saturday and Sunday night. So you're not going to want any sensitive plants outside, or cover up some that are starting to bud if you want to keep them around.
Next couple of days actually going to kind of feel like fall more than spring. I was thinking about that, the winds blowing, the temperatures, lucky to get outside the 40s. It's instead of spring, it's going to feel a little bit more like fall.
Yes, but I think we'll take that over any winter vibe for sure. But you're right. You're right. Those winds tomorrow are going to be vicious again. They're not going to be 50 mile per hour like they were the other day, but they are going to be gusting up to 35 to 40 miles per hour. So pretty feisty for this time of year, like you mentioned. So we have those two big air masses of really warm temperatures to the south of us, and we're going to be sitting under a high pressure, sunny skies and colder air moving in. So that's going to be creating those strong winds for us tomorrow. So they will die down throughout the weekend. It'll still be breezy on Saturday, but by Sunday, you'll start to feel the difference, more of a spring vibe.
Well, again, back-to-back weekends here now that you're going to be bringing lots of sunshine to us. So again, when people blame you when the snow comes, we got to give you the proper credit when you get lots of sunshine. And as you said, maybe it'll be a little chilly Saturday, but boy, Sunday, from what we can tell right now, it's going to be just like last weekend, just a gorgeous day.
It sure is. And thank you for that. No one ever gives me the credit for the positive.
Credit is due.
Oh, gosh. Yes. It's a tough world being a meteorologist. I'll tell you that.
No, actually, it's funny. Today, when I'm done here, I'm going to be heading over to the Central Wisconsin Convention Center over at Cedar Creek. They have the business expo, and actually yesterday I was over there, popped in to drop a few things off to set up for our Bow Falls booth, and I was walking by, and one of the TV stations had a life-size cardboard cutout of one of their weather people. Not the news people, not the sports people, but the weather people. So it shows exactly who the focus is in broadcasting. It is not anybody but the weather people. So we're going to, and I thought, where's our Brittany Merlot life-sized cardboard cutout?
That would be awesome. That's when you know you've made it, when you have a cutout.
There you go. Absolutely. If you're not doing anything today, you should come out there and hang out and just stand there, and we can pretend you're a cardboard cutout.
Right?
And be like, oh my gosh, she's fantastic. So lifelike.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's, I just thought that was really something else to see the 6-foot weatherman, you know, walking right past him. It was too cool. Well,
good stuff.
Brittany, what are the details here for the forecast as we get to the end of the work week?
Yeah, so we're going to stay mostly cloudy out there today. Winds will be gusting to about 25 miles per hour, so just a touch breezy. Highs will climb into the low to mid 50s today, and we do have those spotty sprinkles moving in throughout the afternoon. Those chances diminish and push on out of here by tonight. And in fact, the clouds will start to clear a bit tonight, which will allow us to drop right to that freezing mark. So a frost by tomorrow morning. Highs will then climb into the upper 40s. We'll see clouds increasing throughout the afternoon, and winds will be very vicious, pretty much gusting up to 35 to 40 miles per hour throughout our Friday. So feeling much cooler, probably dressed for the upper 30s is what I'd probably go. I know. A little rough, might be busting out some winter coats or something for a little bit, but we do drop to a hard freeze Friday night into the mid 20s. And then Saturday, bright, beautiful, into the upper 40s, winds starting to calm, gusts around 25 miles per hour. So we'll feel more like the mid 40s. And then by Sunday, upper 50s to low 60s, winds are calm. We're going to feel like that. And it's going to be bright and beautiful. So like gorgeous into the weekend.
Fantastic. Well, Brittany, enjoy your Thursday. We'll catch you again tomorrow. And thanks again for the info.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Bye, Brittany.
That is our Brittany Merlot, joins us every weekday morning at 8:20 here on the program. Right now in Wausau, again, overcast skies, temperature stands at 44 degrees. The dew point is 39, relative humidity of 83%. The barometer stands at 30.01 inches. The winds are out of the south at 3 miles per hour, and a visibility is 10 miles. As I said, Wausau Business Expo going on down at the Central Wisconsin Expo Center at Cedar Creek. It's open to the public from noon until 5 p.m. So if you are in the area, stop on by. And if you stop on by, stop by our Bow Falls radio booth as well. But a whole bunch of great opportunities to visit businesses and get information about businesses from around the Wausau area. That's from the Wausau Chamber. The Business Expo going on today. Starting at 12 noon for the public at the Expo Center at Cedar Creek. The time is 8:28. Coming up, an information update, news, weather, and sports. And then after that, it's our weekly feature on Thursday morning's North Star Knows. And today, we're going to be talking about the typical duration and factors influencing the emergency mitigation process. And also, they're going to be out there at the Chamber of Commerce Small Business Expo as well. So we'll talk about what you can expect if you stop by the North Star Restoration and North Star Builds booth over at the Expo. So that's all coming up. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also check out our video stream and put in comments on our Facebook page, Bow Falls Radio, and our X page as well for Bow Falls Radio. And every Thursday, it is time again for North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. And the man is back. Jay Cricks, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. It's been, John handled it last week. Terrific. And now John getting a well-deserved Thursday morning off.
He's got some time off. He's out fishing today.
Very good. And we've been talking about so many, and I was saying this when we were off the air, that, in my job, normally I feel pretty confident in everything I talk about with my guests. But with you and the guys at North Star, man, I am learning a lot. And I hope the listeners are learning a lot as well, because I have not dealt with really any of the stuff that you've been talking about. And it's amazing that every week we have such interesting topics. And today, I have to admit, because every week I get a copy of the topic list and some information. It said, emergency mitigation process. And my head was about to explode. But we're going to talk about the emergency mitigation process today. And learning a little bit, it's very important.
It is. It is very important. So over the last, we'll say, month and a half since we've started the show, we've sort of kind of laid the foundation. You know, how to select a contractor, what in questions you're going to want to, ask your insurance company, how to prepare your home in case something happens. Well, you know, with all the rain that we've had recently, I thought this topic would be very pertinent for today. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to talk about today is the emergency mitigation process, which is, it's basically when you have a loss in your home. Say you have a water damage. That's really what we're going to focus mm-hmm. on today is what happens if your home does flood. Now you have to call a contractor out. What should you expect from a contractor? What are the steps they should be taking when, you know, entering your home and setting things up and just kind of taking care of you? So that's really what we're going to be talking about today.
And basically, and again, that's before we really delve into it, what that tells me, again, in my layperson's position, is that it's vitally important that, number one, yes, trust the people that you're hiring and dealing with. But at the same time, it is really important as well to have that bit of knowledge to be able to understand what should be going on and not get basically swamped under because you don't have any of the pertinent information.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of times this is the first time that something like this has happened to a homeowner. So they really don't know what to expect. So that's kind of like why we're on the air and talking about mm-hmm. it to help educate people and, you know, bring some knowledge to the general public on what to really expect during something that would probably only happen once in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very rare. I think the stat is like once every 28 years, a homeowner should expect to have some sort of major incident in their home. So some people never have it. They, you know, go through their entire life and never have a flood or a fire or any major issues in their home. And some people, unfortunately, have it happen more often than others. And, you know, that's where knowledge is power. You know, mm-hmm. when you said trust, but it's trust, but verify. So it's kind of having that information in your back pocket. And if you don't know, you should know who to go to ask those questions.
And also, again, as we continue, we want you to be involved in this as well. As I said, hey, you can get on right now. If you go to our Facebook page or our X page and send us in the comment section a question. But even if you don't right now, think about, because we, as we continue, we want to get these questions from you because, like myself, I'm sure many of you have questions and have not had the experience that North Star Restoration and North Star Builds has had. So again, think about any questions you may have about restoration services or events where they can meet your team. And also make sure that you start thinking about this whenever you have the interactions, hopefully with North Star, when you do contact them. But let's jump into it. And real quickly as well, I want to let people know that we're going to talk about emergency mitigation process, but then we're also going to be talking about where you're going to be, and I'm going to be heading on over
absolutely
a little bit later on.
Yeah,
and I know
right
you guys
this.
And you guys put a big production
yep.
all together.
Yep.
At the,
right after this, we're heading down there.
Yep, absolutely, as will I be. So we'll talk about what you can expect at the Small Business Expo. But let's jump into the emergency mitigation process. And
let's do it.
One of the things that, no matter what topic that we talk about, one of the big questions it seems as though that folks would have is timeline.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, building a new residence, but in this case, emergency mitigation process and the timeline. That's something that is often asked immediately, isn't it?
It is. So I want to kind of help define mitigation. Mm. So there's a difference between the mitigation process and the restoration process, okay? So the mitigation process is what happens. It's the cleanup, basically, mm-hmm. okay? It's we're coming in and we're extracting the water. We're removing the debris. That is the mitigation process, the proportion, I should say. The restoration portion is when the contractor comes back in after the cleanup is done and the home is clean and dry and sanitized and puts it back together. Mm-hmm. So today we're focusing on the first, I guess we'll call it, steps in the process,
right.
Okay, because there's really multiple, I guess, phases, we could say, mm-hmm. in getting your home back to where it was to pre-loss condition. So the first phase is the mitigation process. So basically step one is once you've realized that there's been a loss in your home, and some people don't realize this has happened for maybe a couple days after it happened. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of clients that maybe they've been gone for a week, or they went on a little excursion for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps they flushed the toilet before they left, or perhaps something happened right as they left the home or while they were gone. So now it's been flooding or the water's been running for who knows how long. So the first step in the process is one, identifying that there's an issue, and then two, letting your insurance company know that this has happened in your home and finding out if you've got coverage for the loss. That really sets the stage on how to move forward as a mm-hmm. homeowner. So finding out if you've got the right coverages in place, and we've talked about having the right coverages in place right. in previous shows. So that's step one. Call your insurance company. Step two is calling the contractor of your choice. So getting, notifying whoever you would use to do the cleanup work. So getting somebody over there. And there's usually a couple people that you want to call right away during step two. So if it's a burst pipe, you're going to get a plumber over there, obviously, mm-hmm. to repair the burst pipe. But you're also going to want to get somebody over there to, we're going to talk about water damage today, to extract the water. Okay, so get that part done. Get the contractor over there. So you want to notify the people that you're going to want to help you clean it up. It's pretty basic.
And something else that is mentioned is that it is the contractor of your choice.
Correct. So Wisconsin insurance law allows you to choose the contractor of your choice. So a lot of times when you're calling your insurance company, they're going to try and recommend maybe somebody on their preferred vendor list. Mm-hmm. And those are contractors that have an agreement in place with the insurance company. That might be the contractor that you go with. That's fine. You might want to choose somebody that you've got a relationship with also. That's fine as well. Wisconsin insurance law allows you to choose the contractor of your choice. No different than if you're in a fender bender. And you call your insurance company and they want you to take it over to ABC, repair shop. And you're like, no, I'd rather take it over to XYZ because I know the guys over at XYZ. And your insurance company will be fine with that.
And that, well, again, that's important to know mm-hmm. because there will be, frankly, if they do have that, they're going to try to get you there. It's important. And it's important that you do know
this
that.
This is a pivotal
rights.
Moment for you to stand your ground and say, you know what, I appreciate the recommendation, right. but I really want to go with these guys over here. I know them. I trust them. And I'm going to go with them. And at that point in time, there's really no issue. Just move forward with those
guys. And then you do move forward. Yep. And then you take the next step, mm-hmm. which is
calling them and getting them out to the house. So typically, once the contractor of your choice is in the home, they're going to do a walkthrough. We're going to take a look at what's going on in the home, identify the scope of work that needs to be performed. And obviously, there's going to be some paperwork that needs to get filled out. A lot of times, a wink and a handshake is great, but you're going to want to make sure that you get some sort of agreement in place, the scope of work in place. And there's two different types of companies out there. Some of them use time and material estimates, and some of them would use like an estimating software. We use both. But either way, you're going to want to get a contractor over there that can identify the scope of work mm-hmm. and, present you with the right paperwork so you can hand all this stuff in to your insurance company. And that way it's all a very known thing. There should be no surprises at the end. Insurance companies don't like surprises. Homeowners don't like surprises. And contractors don't like surprises. So when you have the right pieces in place, it really helps the process just move along. Much smoother.
A wink and a smile is great until it's not great.
Exactly. So once the service agreement has been reviewed and signed, that's where, I guess, the rubber meets the road.
Sure.
That's when the work can begin. That's when the technicians that get into the home, this could all be, right then and there. Sometimes these things happen in the middle of the day during regular 8 to 5 working hours. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these things happen after hours. Sometimes this stuff happens in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And a lot of contractors that do the work that we do, we're on call 24 hours a day. So no matter when you call, there should be an emergency service team ready to go. There should be a project manager in place. And, we get out of bed all the time at 2 a.m. and go meet with homeowners. Mm. Oh my God, my basement, it's raining in my kitchen, or my basement's flooding, or I didn't realize this happened. And okay, let's go. We get out of bed. We roll out, we have a conversation, and your insurance company always has a 1-800 emergency line. So you can call in your loss at any point in time just to let your insurance company know. But that shouldn't stop you from calling a contractor over there to get going right away. The longer you let something sit,
right,
the worse the damage gets.
And again, we're talking to Jay Cricks of North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. It's North Star Knows every Thursday morning right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And then you get to timelines. And sure. then obviously there are different levels of what you're trying to accomplish here. And that
Absolutely.
Changes the timelines.
It really does. So the timeline of the work being performed, it starts right around 3 days. So you come in. We would remove the affected building materials if that's what the scope of work deems. I know Josh was in here a few weeks back talking about the different categories of loss.
Right.
Category 1, basically clean water, all the way to category 3, which we'll just use terms of black water. If it's a clean water break, pretty simple cleanup, probably a pretty quick timeline. If it's a black water, category 3 loss, and it's gone throughout the structure, there might be a lot of demolition, a lot of building material removal, mm-hmm. and a lot of extra sanitizing, which causes extra moisture, into the, which it prolongs the drying. So it could be, 3 days, on something that's pretty simple, because mm-hmm. you want to dry the structure. We're not there just to remove the building materials, but we want to dry and clean the building materials that are in the wall, you know, the subfloor, mm-hmm. the hard-to-reach areas that water has no problem getting to.
Right.
But it does take a while for the engineering controls, the fans, the dehumidifiers, the containment to actually take hold and start pulling that moisture out of the structure. So depending on how invasive the loss is, the drying process, the cleanup process could take a week. We've seen bigger projects in commercial situations where, you know, it's multiple weeks of doing demo, sanitizing, mm-hmm. cleanup work. But a typical residential loss, we should be in and out right around 3 to 4 days, 5 days, depending on how big of a loss it was. Now we're talking water damage.
Right.
Fire is a whole different story. Yeah. But this is basically the timeline for a water damage mitigation, you know, cleanup. So after the work is done, the building is clean, the building is dry, and you're ready to kind of take the next step forward, mm-hmm. that's when you should be doing a walkthrough with your contractor, going over anything that might be kind of like still hanging out there. Hey, what about this? What mm-hmm. about that? That's when you sort of ask those questions. Now, during this time between the work being done and doing a walkthrough with your project manager, there should have been a few phone calls back and forth.
Right.
A lot of companies have a concierge in place, or we call it a customer service rep, somebody just give you a call, hey, how's it going, blah, 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 this or that, any questions. So that's usually the couple days in between during the cleanup process.
Right.
But then you're at that fifth step is doing that final walkthrough, answering any of those questions, addressing any of those final items. And if everything's good to go, you'd sign the certificate of satisfaction that gets sent into the insurance company and they release the funds. It's really that simple. If the insurance company has any questions, we typically deal with those answers, or your contractor would. Sometimes the homeowner might have to get involved if they're wanting to do any change orders mm-hmm. or stuff like that. But really, once the cleanup portion is complete and the home is dry, clean, sanitized, the certificate of completion is signed, we send that in, good to go. Now, there is a final step, and this is where there's a lot of crossroads with the homeowner. Sometimes they're going to want to use the contractor of their choice to put the home back together again, right. which is great. And sometimes they're going to want to do it themselves. Maybe they're handy. So those are all conversations sure. that we have afterwards, and that's it.
Interesting stuff. And again, we'll talk at the end. There's information for North Star that people pick up and get as well
Absolutely.
To help in this process. So we'll have that before we wrap things up as well. The time is 9:49. We're going to come back in 1 minute and talk a little bit about what you can expect if you pop on over to the Business Expo today and see North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. With Jay Cricks, I'm Chad Holmes. More to come here on North Star Knows on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Yeah. And welcome back. North Star Knows here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. And again, you can check out our video stream by going to our Bow Falls Radio Facebook page or our Bow Falls Radio X page as well. Well, coming up, starting later this morning and yeah. going through right throughout the afternoon, is the Wausau Chamber of Commerce Small Business Expo. And
yeah.
a really cool event. And I'll be heading out there a little bit later on as well. But North Star always seems to have something cool going on. But let's give the foundation again.
Sure.
I love using that.
Sure.
About the Business Expo coming up, a real cool event today.
So, yeah, we've been a member of the Wausau Area Chamber of Commerce for, gosh, well over a decade at this point. And this week is always one of our favorite weeks of the year, is the Small Business Expo. And it's traditionally been held down at the Central Wisconsin Convention and Expo Center. And over the years, it's grown. It's grown considerably over the years. And I was surprised to find this out, but the Chamber of Commerce recently announced that this is the largest business expo, like Chamber of Commerce Business Expo, in the nation. I was like, wow. So our Wausau Area Chamber pulls businesses, not just from the Wausau region, but we're pulling businesses from way up north, like Rhinelander, Tomahawk, Minocqua. I've seen the Packers organization out of Green Bay. They come up, like their events people that do tours.
Mm-hmm.
All over the state, we've got businesses, a huge contingency, obviously, from right here in Wausau,
right,
and the surrounding communities. But we're pulling businesses from all over the state, which is really cool. So we are there. We are very consistent in where we put our booth. you're going to go in the front doors. Then there's going to be a really long hallway.
Yep.
And you've got all kinds of people set up in the hallway. And then once you walk into the expo, we're the first booth right on your, right as you walk through the doors, right to your right.
How do you guys keep doing that? I mean, I was talking to John previously, and he was saying about how he would be talking to everybody. And I said, basically that other folks there probably get really annoyed because you guys are right there.
We're right there.
And also you get the great information. You have a great setup.
Yeah,
so, so you basically, it's sort of like if you were a opening act that takes away all the steam for everybody
else, but
you guys really, you guys plan this out and take advantage of it. It's also great opportunities for the folks that come by and visit to be able to talk to yourself and to John and everybody else that always is involved in these events. And
we like to be the welcome wagon.
Yes,
we like
you
to
are.
Be right there at the front of the line. You know, we've moved the booth around several times.
You're finding the best one, right?
Well, you do. And when you've been doing something for over a decade, there's the early bird, the super early bird. And I like to be the super, super early bird.
Right.
So literally tomorrow, I'll be reserving our booth space for next year. I do not wait to scoop my space back up. Because when you wait, you know, you don't have that right of first refusal anymore,
right,
and someone else can scoop up that really good spot. So we're very diligent in making sure that we reserve our spot right away for the following year.
And
so,
frankly, it says a lot about the business, but you have that plan all the time. And in what you guys do, if you don't have the plan, you're not going to be successful. And also that means your customers aren't going to be successful. And this is, again, an opportunity for your customers to see what you do, even in this kind of situation.
Exactly. You know, and it's more than just what, you know, North Star at the expo. There's so many good businesses that participate in this expo. So if you're looking for, you know, anything from, you know, insurance, restaurants are there, contractors like us are there, anything you need to do around the home, there's just like such a large array of members of the Wausau Area Chamber of Commerce. And this is really an opportunity for all those businesses to spotlight their services. Banks are there. I mean, it's just so many. Real estate agents and brokers are there. I mean, it's just, if you've got something that you wanted to kind of take care of, it's something on your to-do list for this spring where you need like a third party or to help you with, this is your opportunity to get out there and go shake some hands and meet some people. And that's really the essence of the Wausau Chamber of Commerce Business Expo. Not only is it a great opportunity for, so the first half of the show, it's closed to the public.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't open till noon to the public. So the first couple hours, and that's where I'm heading to right from here,
right,
is it's opportunity for business owners to network with each other. So if you're listening and you're out there and you're not a member of the chamber, really think about joining this chamber because it's an excellent organization and a lot of business does get exchanged, not only through strategic partnerships and referrals, just like, hey, I know those guys. Why don't you give them a call? Because we all have people that ask us, hey, who do you know that can do this for me?
Right.
And this is the one time during the year where it's our big event where we all get together, we spend a few hours, and then there's an after party that we all go to. But from noon till 5, it's open to the public. And so if you're out there and you're looking to get a spring project taken care of, there's landscaping companies, roofing companies, contractors, you know, anybody and everybody that's a member of this chamber of commerce, they're going to be there this year. And I'm looking forward to it. I already did a pre-walkthrough last night when we were setting our booth up, and there's some pretty good booths, and it's going to be a good time today. I'm excited.
And just for folks, again, who may be going out between noon and 5, what is your booth number?
So 143. So it's going to be hard to miss us. I mean, you're going to walk through the doors, you're going to turn right, and there's going to be North Star.
And again, I guess to put a bow on this part of the discussion is, as well, we talk a lot about supporting local business.
Yep.
And this is a great opportunity to find businesses you can really feel good about supporting. It makes it better for everybody in the community.
Absolutely. It sure does. So we're looking forward to shaking some hands today, meeting some people. We've got some pretty cool prizes that we're giving away. I believe we're giving away like this, like, let's get campy backyard camping package. So I know my guy Clay, He was out there doing some shopping last night. He's got one heck of a setup going on today, excited.
Very cool. So, again, just to wrap up today, and again, folks, if you missed anything or missed any of our previous shows, you can go to our website, bowfallsradio.com, click on shows, click on my show, and you can listen to any of our segments with North Star on Thursdays. But, again, what do you want people to take away from what we talked about, especially in the first section?
Sure. Let's talk about the first section just briefly here at the end. You know, things to know about your disaster repair process. There are a lot of questions that you don't know that you don't know. So if you were to have something happen to you, you know, just one of the basic questions is how long will the restoration process take? There's other questions that you might have that you don't know, like when do I call a restoration company, or what does my insurance company cover? What can I do to minimize the damage until the adjuster gets there? When do you pay your deductible? You know, what is recoverable depreciation? So we've got a list of all these questions on our website. So that's www.northstarrestorationservices.com. And if you were to have something happen to you and you need a reference point, go to our website, download the document, or just give us a call.
And folks, send in your questions. We want to hear from you. Any questions about anything we've been talking about
Sure.
here? And folks, reach out to North Star. Reach out to me. Send me an email. Send a Bow Falls Radio a message on Facebook and X, whatever it may be, because we want you to be part of this show.
Or come down to the expo and ask us in person at booth 143.
Jay Cricks, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for having us.
Got another hour to come. Got an information update coming up next, and then back with more. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.